Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful day so far. Podcast time and the one and only Flash Mob. Flash Mob was a duo. Now it's a single person. I don't really need to give Flash Mob much of an introduction. If you've not heard of Flash Mob, Flash Mob had a huge record. I can't remember the exact dates, but a while ago on Defected Record called Needing Me. Ever since then, toured the world multiple times, had an extremely successful career, and is now in the process of kind of rebranding, finding a sound, finding where they want to be in this industry, or he wants to be in this industry. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. It was a truly honest conversation, and I think people will like it. I hope people like it. So yeah, without further ado, Flash Mob.
Okay, have I got to press something here?
Oh mate, you're good. You're live. We're recording. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, obviously very concerned about the whole Ukrainian situation, but I'm imagining we don't want to get into that, and talk about music. Yeah,
that's dark. What's going on in the world right now is pretty dark. Let's keep it light.
Yeah, but it probably does have something to do with how each and every one of us has come out of the COVID isolation period. Yeah. In my opinion, you see a lot of human beings have really tried to improve their craft or improve their path in the earth and be a better person, and many others have just gone crazy.
Yeah,
I'm obviously within the second category.
Yeah, man, it's I'm not too sure how I feel about it all right now.
I'm scared. I'm really scared.
But yeah, anyway, I'm trying to be positive about it all. Although there's no positives out of this at all.
Deeply upset for these people as well. Man. I mean, God, and the courage and wow. I mean, what can you say?
I think
I really feel I should get on a truck and you know.
Yeah,
And my wife, I was saying this to my wife, and I was saying, you know, look at us. We're so lucky, and I'm here watching TV with, you know, and can I just not, you know, I think I should. Yeah. And she said, no. She said, you're not going anywhere. Just sit down.
No, I've had quite a lot of reflecting over things for like the last week, and it's like, we all have our issues, right? We all have our moments. We all have our moans. We all have our like bad days and good days. And we all know that there's somebody else having a worse day.
Sure.
But the last couple of weeks have been like, no, you know what? Yeah, we've got it. We've got it really fucking good. And just be grateful. Like the fact that you go to a show and the promoter hasn't got the right tech set up. Like, it's not the end of the world.
I've never really been bitchy anyway. So,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like there's lots of things that we can kind of all moan about in our lives, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just much. I think when something's so at the forefront, the way we consume news and media right now is very different compared to what it was 15 years ago. And there was a level where we could switch off from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas nowadays, I don't think we can so much.
No.
Even if we try.
Yeah, yeah. It's very true what you're saying. I was skiing last week and I really promised myself, like I do every year, I really try and switch off from nearly everyone regarding my work and even family, because I tried just to switch off and not have, you know.
Yeah.
But I was with my iPad and it was just, I just couldn't not watch.
Yeah.
You just, I feel as if it's like, not a responsibility, but it's, you. I mean, you have to be aware of something so important going on in a way, and I don't know, the world is so changing, everything is changing, music is changing, our jobs have changed, the whole perspective has changed, which makes it really interesting. I mean, COVID has been a great opportunity. It has been a great opportunity, at least for me personally. It's been a great opportunity, and hopefully if we survive this whole situation. Yeah. There's still space to improve.
The industry has changed in the last, like, industry's changed rapidly, but I feel like since technology, like even from like the first CDJ, which wasn't that long ago, I'm sure you remember. The transition from vinyl to where we're at now was super quick.
Yeah, like it was really quick. It was around 2001, 2003, because I was in London.
Yeah.
And I remember that I had this little room with a hole in a window. I remember that clearly. And I had my CDJ 100 in my room. Loads of records and clothes and pretty much nothing else. And at the time I was playing Turnmills in London.
Classic.
For a... Yeah, yeah, that's where I started after uni, and I was that was the first year that I had that I was starting to introduce CDs into my sets.
So where are you actually from? Because I'm so confused with your accent.
Yeah, I get that a lot. So my mother was from Waterford, which is in Ireland, as I'm sure you know, and she was from Waterford. Yes. And then she lived nearly all her life in Liverpool.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. 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 So, and then my father's Italian and I've always lived in Italy.
Yeah.
And, I spent 1 year in Vancouver in Canada during university. Yeah. And apart from that, I've always lived in Milan, and I was about to go to Barcelona when I met Alessandra, who's my wife, and we have two kids, and we've built a life together. But I was about to go to Barcelona. I was that close, and then
women, Yeah, it's I've never been to Milan.
You should come.
I know. I'd love to.
You should.
I'd love to.
It's a really amazing place. Mm. It's the vibe is quite something actually right now. It was we had a period where the whole scene was sort of, you know, a little it freezed.
Then
a couple of years before COVID, it started being vibrant again and opened to, you know, to new things and so interesting in a way. I'm happy. I'm proud of what they're doing. Hopefully now we can, you know, it's very slow here. Yeah, it's very slow resuming in Italy. Well, and you know, you're British, aren't you?
Yeah.
So yeah, in England they're mainly booking British acts. They've closed a little bit.
The English scene is well, I think the whole European
saturated.
Scene is so saturated, and I think it's also saturated with, I don't know. I have this conversation with my team a lot and my friends a lot, that it's like we've just had 2 years of zero business, really. A lot of people have had 2 years of zero business. And that's not just including the DJs. That's including the promoters, the agents, everybody that's in our scene. And now everyone wants to start making money again. And the promoters, realistically, without sounding disrespectful to them, and this isn't disrespectful, it's just strict business, is that the promoters want to make money as quickly as they can. And what do you do to make quick money? Is you book people that are going to sell tickets really quickly. You don't try and build a community again. You book the ticket sellers. And realistically, in the grand scheme of our industry, big ticket sellers, there's probably only about, like, I mean, big ticket, like people that can move like thousands of tickets.
10, 15
people. And realistically, then everything else just has to be kind of distributed between thousands of others, right? They're just trying to get that. And then also you have the new wave of people that have like come through during COVID, which is amazing. They've come through like the streaming platforms and the things that like you wouldn't ever expected in this industry, because we've never had to do it before. Which is pretty interesting, and I like to see it. There's like a lot of interesting acts, but then there's also a lot of shit. I think because people want the success, there's a lot of copying and not a lot of
yes I suppose. I don't know. I'm all I can say is I'm hearing a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always heard a lot of bad stuff. When there was vinyl, it was much, much better. That's much for sure.
Why do you think that is? Sorry to buy in, but why do you think? Let's go back to the vinyl.
You know, it was much more complex to make music and really work your way to get someone to put your music on the label, because everyone had their own friends. I mean, if you look at the documentary of Richie Horton, I'll give you a very simple example. Mm. He had to ultimately, when he got to a point when he was working with John Acquaviva, and they was, you know, the just before Plastic Man, he was like, I think it was called Plus Eight. They had an act together. It was called Cybertronic or something like that. Mm-hmm. And even they couldn't print, and then they printed their own music on their own label with John Acquaviva's golden MasterCard or something. Yeah. And they sold an incredible amount of money in Germany, and then they started traveling internationally. At the end of the day, if you're not sort of in a crew, and you don't have a big name or a name, or you don't have, or you've not done something really, really important in the past, or you're not doing something interesting or real, it's, you know, it's very hard to get other people to put money into promoting your music at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I also have a record label. So, and I've always used the record label in probably in the wrong way. I was just signing music I liked, mm-hmm. basically, with a very simple criteria. I'm told now that the criteria needs to be completely different. So COVID for me has been an opportunity to really reset and start from scratch. Mm. It's my second time round, and I'm not scared to say that I've made many mistakes in the past, and yeah. I'm not chasing anything. I'm just, you know, I it's just what I do. Yeah. So I've heard many interviews. I like to listen to interviews. I've heard many interviews of people that you can see they just want to cash out.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to have that success and then just, I just probably will make music till I'm capable of making music, till yeah. I'm not completely deaf. So that's, you know, so I've completely re-challenged myself to fix all the things that needed to be fixed in my project. And one of them is the record label and the way I approach record labels, the way I sort of want to promote my record label and want to use my record label. I'm not there yet. We have the strategy in place and I'm working on it, but I'm going to start being involved in the label. I'm going to start putting the music I love on the label because the music I really love, and this is, you know, is not really on the label yet.
Yeah.
The music that I really, really love, because there's a big difference between what you find yourself doing and what you sort of get involved with doing. And then this stop has given me the opportunity to really find out what I want to do and find the courage and to do it, you know,
So are you talking about releasing other people's records or your music?
Well, I can just report from my side. I am told that a record label should be from my heart.
Of course.
The record label, at the end of the day, if you're really going to do it properly, it should express a necessity that you have to search for a certain sound that you want to put out there and so with that you would go and look for people that have a similar sound and build a community around that sound. That's what I want to do. In the past, the record label for me has been an instrument to mainly to put newcomers, to give newcomers a platform and just put the music out that I liked.
Yeah.
There wasn't much of a strategy on the label up to a certain point. Mm. And now I really want to make it mine in the real sense of, you know, so we're printing vinyls. I'm really signing the music that I really, really love, even if it's not the flash mob sort of expected sound.
Yeah.
But I've always been sort of eclectic anyway, and I've changed a lot through the years, and I've done my thing. I have my name. I've bought my house.
Yeah.
It's not that I really have any sort of, you know, and I think that COVID is giving us the opportunity to sort of, you know, grow.
Yeah.
And really, really express what you want to really, do it like it extensively once and for all. I in the past I was always in a loop, in a loop with well, life gets at you. You stop maybe for a couple of years if something happens to one of your loved ones.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, we were two with Flash Mob, we split up, and that was a major waste of time. And then you start and you're playing all the time. You know how it is. And when you're playing a lot, you sort of don't realize many of the mistakes you make if you're not surrounded by the right people. And this is what was happening to me before the pandemic. And then
you've pulled it up a couple of times with mistakes. Like, what were the like key mistakes that you were like, fuck, I messed up here? Or what were they? Or when you realized
what
they
were? The mistakes that, I would have to say, let me say this in the right way, because I don't want to seem like the one that's promoting himself as a good person, but I'm a very to the point guy.
Yeah.
But I'm so in love with what I do that I've always had a sort of a a bit of a break on like in normal life. I sort of I don't let people mess around with me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And in my job, it's been different through the years. It's such a big love, and I'm so involved. My sentence is always, you know, I just want to make music.
Yeah.
And I've said that for years. And for years, I think that a lot of people have taken advantage of that.
Yeah.
They've taken advantage of the fact that I do what I say and I say what I think, and it doesn't really pay off. So I've sort of grown older. I've broken my teeth, as you would say. And I've started not being an asshole but I've started sort of
set boundaries.
Yeah, I know how it is now.
Yeah,
hopefully, but I'm sure there's still stuff to learn. But I've selected the right people that I've known for years now, and I've just started from scratch, eliminating any kind of expectation from myself, eliminating the link between myself and my musical past.
Yeah.
I'm just making music and just trying to find what I really want to do, what I really want to play. And something else, having two young kids, I've never really wanted to. I was already traveling Europe really extensively and going to South America quite a lot. I've never really got into the American market. And during COVID, with Closer on Tool Room, the American market has sort of started approaching me. And so we're getting the visa now. I'm coming in April, at the beginning of April. And I think that America will become my main sort of focus.
Yeah.
America is I find it very near. A lot, there are a lot of artists that I like musically. And there's a lot of opportunity, especially for someone that I mean, in England, I've played
everywhere.
Oh my God. Yeah, but everywhere, like multiple times. So in the first 5 years of Flash Mob, I was on 150 gigs a year.
Yeah. Like, wow.
It was really, really, so, you know, it was like back and back. We were like three festivals in three countries in the same day. So it was, and then obviously through time and hype goes down a little bit, and then we split up, and then my mother was and then this and then that, and I've still been playing a lot, not as much with the kids, but now I'm sort of, the kids are older, and this pandemic is, you know, it's, and everything has sort of reshaped itself around remotivating me to sort of move forward, but in the right way, not sitting back, just, you know, whatever. I just want to do things correctly.
There's something really inspiring about that, though, because I think for most people in their career, you just kind of just keep going. The cogs just keep moving, and you just kind of keep rolling with it, and you kind of take it as it is. And there comes a point when, in most people's careers, especially as an artist, is that those cogs slow down, and you try and keep doing what you've always done, what you've always known. But realistically, what you need to do is actually sit back, evaluate everything, and kind of pivot. And I did this for me in my career. I did this in 2018.
Okay.
And it was very similar to you, to a certain extent, where the team I had around me weren't the right team.
Yeah, you were doing True Soul at the time, weren't you?
That
a
was
a lot of True Soul stuff. Yeah,
before that, I was doing a lot of the Dirty Bird stuff.
The Dirty Bird stuff. Yes.
Which, like, some of the best times of my life. That, but also, I was in that kind of moment where my management at the time didn't really understand where I wanted to take things and couldn't really bring anything to the table of where I wanted to go. But realistically, it wasn't them. It was me not doing what I really wanted to do. And it takes a bit of, like, to kind of stop everything.
And, it takes humbleness.
Yeah.
It takes courage. And you need to admit to yourself that you've made mistakes and that you need to fix them. And you need to make more mistakes to actually 100%. Realize what the correct things to do are.
And sometimes I don't necessarily think it's necessarily a mistake. I think it's, we change as human beings, right?
Ah, yes, of course.
We change and we evolve in what we do and what we want out of life. Like, my goals before COVID compared to what they are now completely changed. Of where I want to be in 5 years, where I want to be in 10 years is completely changed. So I think you're allowed to change. And I think the hardest thing, which I want to get into with you, is how do you tell that story to your fans and followers so that people are like, so you don't alienate them, but then you also attract new people coming in. Oh, I lost you.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Well, something that I'm trying to oblige myself to do is to finally choose one thing that I really, really like.
Yeah.
In maybe a couple of different shades, mm-hmm. and stay within those boundaries.
Yeah.
Stay within those musical parentheses. Stay within those. Sorry, my auntie keeps calling me.
No worries.
So yeah, I was saying I'm trying to oblige myself to stay within a very defined musical parenthesis. I'm starting to build it now.
Yeah.
I mean, the first period that I had when we started this as Flash Mob, the sound was very, very specific.
Yeah, it was.
And then
I remember.
And then we did 4 or 5 years of really touring massively and doing all the things and blah blah blah. Then we split up, and then I started experimenting, which for me was something new.
Yeah.
And so I started doing different things, experimenting different kinds of music, and obviously I got lost, as you do in life.
Yeah, yeah.
I got lost, and it's sort of strange because people don't understand that even if you're very good in the studio, it can happen to you to find a certain sound and to sign a certain important record in a very random way, because I would take all the the glory away from what I've done in the past. But it's true, you're in the studio and you just nail something and you understand that it works. And if you have the strength to pursue it for a certain period of time and you're good at what you do and you're lucky as well and blah blah blah, you know how it is.
Yeah.
But then when after all the glory and after all the first years, I started really experimenting and really looking for, and I still am.
Yeah.
Obviously I've been studying so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Studying, and I'm still studying. I'm still trying to understand how to really speak the language of music in the fastest possible way, to seize the moment in the studio when you're in that zone where you know. And so the best thing that I can do right now is try and represent the kind of sound that I have in my head, both on my label, both on Tool Room, where I'm releasing consistently, and I'm looking at different other labels that I really, really like, especially a couple of American labels that I like, and where I can sort of output the same kind of sound and sort of, you know, define myself in my new vest, let's say. So that's that way, I mean, at the end of the day, if people that do follow the project, my musical project, and people that know my music, they know they sort of know what they can expect from me.
Yeah, yeah.
They sort of know.
Yeah.
It's been eclectic, mm-hmm. and I want to make it a little bit more solid.
Totally.
That's what I've been working on during COVID.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we're musicians, right? And you'd expect musicians to release all types of different music. But for some reason, and I think we can't, and this, like, there's very few people that can, very few, especially in our kind of industry. I'd say you have Chemical Brothers that can, you have people like Floating Points, Fortet, those types of people that can really get away with it. But there's not many other people that can that do it successfully. Yeah. Which is really interesting. And do you have a theory why that is?
I suppose that if you have the patience to get to a certain level, and then you push to you have an extra patience to push yourself at an even higher level,
yeah.
and then the stars align, and then for some reason you find yourself into a position where you can really express yourself to another level, and then you get to a point where you can actually exploit completely innovative and sounds, let's say, but it basically, in other words, we're saying you can do what the hell you want.
Yeah.
And in my scenario, I'm sort of a house music reference kind of, you know, I've done an iconic track in the past and blah blah blah. So and so people sort of expect, you know, and then so I'm imagining that's for someone like me, or for someone, you know, for someone that was that's been around for quite a while, if you have the chance to have a second run. If you want to have a second run, I'm supposing that if you have a specific new sound that people can identify you by, then you can sort of use your profile in a better way and blah, 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 because there's a lot of business in it, and you know how 100%, it is. So it's also about, I mean, during COVID, I think I've made, I don't know, I don't even want to say a number because it's a crazy number. So I don't even want to say it because it would sound as if I'm celebrating myself. But I think 90% of that stuff is just going to stay is just going to stay there, because it's just, or as I'm told, or probably it will be stuff that I will be able to use in the future, if I get myself to that level. But my goal is not to get to any particular level. I'm always battled internally on, and I have been for some time now. I'm always battled on, I want it, but at the same time, I like to stay in the studio and not be as stressed and as mentally, you know, oppressed by touring that much. So it's a bit of a, you know, I just want to, after COVID, I've given myself the opportunity to really enjoy what I do and really try and do, you know, do it properly and do it at the maximum of my skills and just enjoy whatever comes. That doesn't mean that I don't work as much as I used to. I'm a workaholic. Yeah. I've always pushed myself to the limit, but I'm trying to get to the point where I live my experience in a more spiritual and a more aware, you know, I'm it's not only about, you know, the fees and it's not only about the profile. It's not always about how a record goes. Yeah. It's not always about, you know, I'm a father. And at the same time, I'm a human being that's been around for quite a while. I've had my share of success and I think it's important to, I think I have another 15 years in front of me. And I don't,
totally.
What I'm saying is that I don't really want to live them as I lived beforehand. Those 4-6 years of intense touring. Yeah, so yeah. If I have to switch, and before COVID, I was on 60-80 gigs a year, which is still a fair amount of gigs considering considering I have family and that, you know.
Well, it's one a weekend, isn't it? Which is still a lot of traveling.
More or less, yes. Yeah. I would take a couple of months per season off so that I could concentrate, you know. But if I have to go back to traveling more, I will do it, but I really need to do it with a different mindset.
Totally.
That's my goal. So my goals are more to do with the kind of music that I want to get to the opportunity to make.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to do. Sorry.
That's fine.
And it has a lot to do with the kind of journey that I want to embark myself.
Totally.
And the kind of goals that I want to. This is my wife. Let me just tell her that I'm on the interview, so she feel guilty all night. And then interview. I might get lucky tonight. I did tell her. But anyway, so yeah, I'm very concerned with being happy and being happy with music. And it's always been a conflict. I've always felt a little bit out of, it's strange to say, but I've always felt a little bit an outsider.
Okay.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
The truth is that I'm a law graduate. And I don't really like clubs, or I know it's crazy to say, but I've always been obsessed with music and with vinyls and with DJs. And I was buying vinyls. I've always been so driven. I forced myself to do things always because I was so driven to this. And now I'm at a point where I really see that I can find the formula to enjoy it. And I am enjoying it in a way. And studying has a lot to do with it, because the more I study, the more I know, the more knowledge I have of what I do, the more I feel part of this. And I want to feel part of it. And I also want to sort of give myself the opportunity to meet the good side of the industry as well. I've only met the bad side for now. I'm joking.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that, because my first experience in a club was me DJing. And that was when I was young. I was like 13 years old. So I've never experienced the rave culture, the like go to a party, get fucked up every weekend and kind of do with your mates. And I think because I started playing at such a young age, I don't enjoy going to clubs. I only enjoy going to clubs if I'm DJing. It's the only time unless like one of my friends is in town and they're playing and I kind of feel obliged to go.
Not even.
Yeah, and I don't even really want to go. Like, I'll go see like 20 minutes of their set and leave. Because for me, going to a club is just not for me. I'd rather cook at home with cook for my friends or my family at home, or like go to the gym or make music.
But having said that, once I forced myself to get on a plane, once I forced myself to get into the hotel, wake up at 3 a.m., feel like vomiting all over the place, once I forced myself to get to the club, those 2 hours, I am in a zone.
Yeah.
I'm in a place where I can honestly, I'm just me. And then I play and I transform my personality. Everything changes. I'm just like, and everything comes out. And then when I finished, I'm just like, if everything that happened before the gig didn't exist.
Yeah.
And then I start again.
See, I'm a little bit different in that situation, where I love the travel. I love.
Yeah, I know. I've seen your videos. They're very inspiring.
Yeah, I love the like lack of sleep. I love the like the hustle of the touring DJ life. I love that. I've not enjoyed it so much being back after COVID, purely just because I hate wearing a mask on a plane and all of that stuff and kind of all the testings and stuff like that that we have to do. But I think for me, I have to enjoy that part of it, because otherwise, realistically, we play for two to set. We play 2 to 12 hours.
Strangely,
right?
after COVID, for me, it's been the opposite.
Really?
Because I hated the traveling before, but even if I absolutely loved to death the previous other half of Flash Mob,
totally.
But it was terrible to travel together. We were always arguing. So probably a lot of the hate that I have for traveling had to do with that. But lately I went to the Maldives for the first electronic music festival 2 months ago.
In the Maldives?
To the Maldives. Wow. It was incredible experience, yes. And then I played Egg and I played in Liverpool. Yeah. I've done a couple of gigs and I really enjoyed the traveling as well. So I've lived it in a completely, something has changed in my head for now. Hopefully it stays that way.
Do you think that's just a mindset that you've kind of like,
I do. I think I'm not yet where I want to be.
Yeah.
I'm still fighting with myself for a couple of things. And with the fact that I'm very open about anything that I live with my family, with the people that I work with, et cetera, it makes it probably even harder in a way, because I'm not one of those guys that keeps everything inside. He deals with it and then moves on. I just bug everyone and I'm trying to resolve the quest in a way. And so everyone gets pissed off.
I feel that. And it's really interesting you say that, because I remember it was my second tour of Australia. I toured with a good mate of mine. I don't need to say who it is.
Especially because you're going to say something.
No, I'm not going to say anything bad about them at all. But it was something that I couldn't really quite comprehend. He at that time, I was 24, I think, at the time. So it was still very new to me. And he's only a couple of years older than me, but he'd had a bit of success beforehand. And he was like, dude, you're going to, just a heads up, you might love all the traveling now, but you're going to hate it in like 4 or 5 years time. And I was like, why? And he's like, because I hate it. I hate traveling. I hate doing everything. And I was like, that's not healthy. That's not a healthy mindset to have when 90% of our job is to travel. It's not doing anything else. And
many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
As my career kind of went up, I saw him just be like, kind of take himself out of the industry. And COVID took him not completely yet. He's still making music, but he doesn't want to tour. He doesn't want to do all of these things. He's he found another passion, which is amazing, and he's being successful in that. And I think sometimes we have to just accept that realistically we start making music because we love making music and we like DJing.
Yes.
And realistically, it's okay not to enjoy everything else. But if you don't enjoy everything else, then don't do it.
Yeah. I totally agree. And actually, one of the triggering points that has re-pushed me into finding such a big motivation in making music and really feeling, because when COVID struck, I think for 3-4 months, I just rested. Mm. I just rested my body, my mind. I just didn't want to, you know, it was just the perfect opportunity to just whatever,
yeah.
You know, I was sick of the people I was working with. I was sick of everything.
Yeah.
I wasn't making the music. I wasn't putting the attention in making the music that I wanted to make. The ideas that I was putting down didn't have that spike that they should, because I didn't have the time. I wasn't being the father that I wanted to be. Yeah. I wasn't being the husband that I wanted to be. And you're in that loop. And you're trying to do the best. You're trying to juggle everything, and realistically, you're doing everything not really very
shittily.
Well.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and then so I took time, even maybe 6 months. You know, even maybe 6 months of absolutely nothing, and then I started going to the studio. It's in my house, the studio. So I've always had this relationship where I just either don't go into the studio at all. Or I go into it a lot.
Yeah.
And so I've changed it around. I started changing it around and starting to understand the relationship between, you know, who I am and what I've become and what I've done, what I've achieved, but mainly what I want.
Yeah.
And there was a big distance between what I thought that I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And what I really wanted to do.
I understood. So what were those two things? So what was what you thought you wanted?
Realistically, when COVID struck, I wanted to stop.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do anything else anymore. I was just sick of it. So that's the truth.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was sick of the people I was working with. I was sick of doing things not properly.
Mm.
Because one of the greatest feelings in life is to do things properly at the end of the day for me.
Yeah.
Like to progress, to study, to really master. It's like when I'm guessing you've also had this feeling after a number of years that you're DJing, you get to a point where you have those moments where you really say to yourself, I'm really good at doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I really love this. I've done it so much.
Yeah.
And I've done it so many times that I'm sort of understanding how it's
totally.
Because you spend years playing convinced you know how to play, and then one day you realize that you're starting to understand how
good.
It is.
Yeah.
You know. So the distance was not wanting to sort of, you know, just wanting to stay away from it and just detached and just breathe.
Yeah.
And have the time to, and then when my will to go back to the studio came back, I started thinking about, you know, who am I? What have I done? Mm. This is an opportunity to reset. And what do I really want to do? And what, you know, and I started listening to the people surrounding me and they were telling me things that were not connecting with me anymore. And that's when I sort of detached from everyone and started from scratch again. And then one of my best friends, who's one of Italy's most respected promoters that I've played for through the years, and I've been asking him forever. He's one of my really good friends.
Yeah.
And I respect him a lot. He's one of those really... And I was asking him, you know, will you give me a hand? Because I need help with a number of things. I can't think straight.
Yeah.
And that went on for years. And then during COVID, once I did Closer, I signed it and I realized that it was a strong track. Mm. I wanted to make a musical video of it.
Yeah.
Because it meant a lot to me
more
than anything else. And so I asked him for help to do this, to organize this musical video. And that's how we started working together. And it came spontaneously. I sort of at a certain point, I said, you know, I really feel that you're the person that can help me. Mm. And we've been working for a year now together, and he's literally pushed me to reset everything of my project from A to Z.
Yeah.
And that's why I was talking about mistakes at the beginning of our conversation, because a lot of the things that I've had to fix are things that I've not done correctly because I wasn't able to do them correctly, or because I didn't have the knowledge, or because I had to improve myself, or even because I was in this loop where you don't really find the time to do things properly. So, and a little step at a time, fixing all the things that I thought that I could improve. Yeah. I've really refound motivation in wanting to improve myself as a human being, as a DJ, as a musician, but not anymore with the mindset of wanting to progress and wanting to have more success and more fees and more gigs and more. No, just in the mindset of really finding a dimension where I'm doing things properly, where I have the time to do them properly, where I'm doing things that make sense for me, where I'm really thinking things through properly, and where we're really doing things that make sense and that, And that's the new mindset I've started working with, and it's very healthy.
Totally, I like that a lot. And I think the part that I want to go back to is when you asked your friend for help.
Oh yeah, I was desperate.
Like, how it's very hard for people to ask for help, because I think there's a lot of like. Realistically, I and this is only my opinion, this isn't what I feel is the same for everyone, but for me, is if I'm asking for help, it's me accepting that I have kind of failed at some point in my life, somewhere, doing something. And
it's true.
Yeah.
But it's true.
And
but none of us have the capacity of doing everything properly.
Exactly.
And who says the opposite is lying.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but I think it's also come into that realization that you have failed, or that I have failed. For me, like, I can speak, I only speak for myself. When I'm asking for help, I'm like, okay, I'm not good at this, and I need to get somebody. I need somebody in around me. Which for me, when I fired my old management in 2018, and I took on my new manager Ryan, who you've been on email with. I took him on early 2019, and that was kind of me going, I need help. I don't exactly know what I need help with. I know where I want to get to, but I need somebody to help me get to where I want to get to.
Finding
that person is very hard.
This is why I said before, I was really desperate to get this person to work with me, because I knew for a fact, from the conversations we had, that he was sort of, it's very simple. He's very good in the micro, and I'm sort of, I know my shit in the macro.
Yeah.
He's good in the micro.
Yeah.
And for the way my brain works, and for the way I am, and for the enthusiasm I have for a certain number of reasons, a lot of the things that I need help with, as we all do, because he is very good at, and the experience and the mindset, and it's a number of things that really I knew that they would work with me, and that did work with me, because he's the kind of person that you want to listen to, and that even when you think that you've done it right, he'll get you to do it again, and he'll prove to you that you could have done it better.
Fuckers.
And that's the kind of people. That's the kind of person that you want.
It's the worst. And it's the worst, but it's also the best thing, right?
It's the best. It's been. Listen, this year has been an absolute revelation and a revolution. And I'm happy to be able to. I could have come in and done this interview telling you how great my career has been, which it has been.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in other things. I'm interested in talking to people, and I'm interested in really confronting myself with myself.
No, I like that
because
a lot.
I'm the enemy of my. I've been the enemy for a number of things of myself, and I. That's my that's my journey, my real journey. That is expressed by music. It's expressed with the will that we human beings have to sort of seize life in a way. We do it through music, or the people do it. You know.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there as well, where a lot of life, and this isn't just music, this is life. A lot of people can, and I can do it myself as well, is that blame culture, right?
Yeah.
It's not taking responsibility for your life. And in that becomes your relationships, becomes your career and everything like that. And I was having a conversation with a mate last night, one of my really close friends here in Detroit. And he wasn't like moaning, but he was saying like, oh, I'm working too much. I don't get the opportunity to do this. Don't get the opportunity to do that. Yet he's an extremely successful person and earning extremely amount, a lot of money. And I'm like, well, the only issue in this is you.
Yep.
You're the one that's not changing things, because you have the ability to change everything.
Yes.
It was the same in my career, and by the sounds of it, it's the same in your career. It takes time for you to realize, or it took time for me to realize, that I need to make changes. But once I accepted that the change needed to come from me, I needed to start from me, and I needed to accept that what I'm doing currently isn't what I want to be doing in the future, then that's when it kind of starts.
Yes,
to change.
Yes, yes. That will, what you just said there, that is exactly the difference between a good manager and a bad manager.
Yeah.
A good manager is telling you how you can improve the things that you do.
Yeah.
And he's pushing you to do the right things, but not for the sake of having to tell you to do something.
Yeah.
The bad managers are the ones that make you feel there's a problem.
Yeah.
For me, I don't have any problem. I'm constantly booked, always have through the years.
Yeah.
Before COVID, the month before COVID, I played 10 gigs. It's but it depends. It depends what gigs, what mindset, what music, what, you know, it depends. It's not all as it seems.
No, totally.
Especially for someone that wants to DJ forever.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what I do. I'm not someone that is going to cash out and play golf, as I've heard in many of the interviews, because it just happened to me randomly.
Yeah.
I'm not an ex-promoter. It didn't happen to me randomly. I don't have any friends that have sort of put me there.
Yeah.
Or I've worked like a bull for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know. And that's the great thing of having someone that really cares about you, and that is really, apart from how much they're paid and how much you can see it, you can see the commitment, you can see the humanity in really wanting to make a dream come true for someone, because they really care. You know, you can see it. You can see it when you have it.
Totally.
And I can see it now that I have it. I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And I can see it in the simple things, because they don't spend time telling me, oh, you're flash mob. You're this and you're that. Let's ask for this and less. No, they're pushing me to do the essential things that I need to do to improve myself as a human being, to make my, be a better at my, of my work. You know, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And once you realize that, I'm imagining that it's much easier. I mean, it is much easier. I can already say that.
Yeah.
It's
super easy. It's easy for us to say, having been in the industry for a while. You've been a lot more successful than me in the industry for a longer time. But it's easy for us to say, sitting back and reflecting on everything, right? But you have to be happy in your life.
Oh yes, massively.
You have to be, and otherwise you might as well just go get a 9-to-5 job, because you can if it's just about earning money, you can go and earn probably a fuck ton more money being a lawyer.
Yeah. It takes time to realize what's happening to you. It takes time to sort of give a shape to the fact.
Yeah.
For example, I didn't just get married because I got married because I was extremely lucky to find a person that is one of the best people that I know in the world,
yeah.
and that improves me every day and that helps me every day in every possible way. I'm blessed to have a companion like this. She's completely out of my league. And, you know, I got married because I just could not.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
so yeah. But this is the way I sort of do things. So for me also to put into perspective the amount of things that I've been sucking out of my relationship with Alessandra, for example, and the amount of everything that has been sucked out of me from touring, from you know how competitive it is.
I mean, totally.
At the end of the day, it's super competitive.
Yeah.
Even if you're living it with a very peaceful. I mean, I follow you a lot and I admire you a lot because I really see how you are very, very balanced, and that in what you do and the way you speak, even when you don't have sleep, I can sort of see how you're in peace, and I like that a lot. And apart from the music, which is you know that I'm obsessed with one of your tracks, but
thank you.
But it's that's what I'm sort of looking for. That is the real goal, to get to a point where you know who you are, where you're doing what you love and you're doing it in a very composed way. And that takes a long journey because you have to fix all the balances between
time.
You, your job, what it's taking from you, what it's taking from your family, what it's taking from your kids, and the music and the label and the people you deal with and the PRing you have to do and you have to understand them. It's success is for me is to get to that point where you can really have the luxury to say no to a gig if you don't want to play because you know you're surrounded by people that understand and that see life in a bigger
picture,
and that respect you and love you to the point that, you know, if you do say no, it's not a tragedy. I remember I couldn't say no to a gig. It was impossible to say no.
I still find it hard.
And yeah, but you see, if you find it hard because you don't want to say no, it's okay.
Yeah.
You have to deal with that between you and Will.
Yeah, yeah.
You and yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're finding if you can't say no because you feel that it's not okay that you say no from the outside, that is a completely different story, and that means that you're not sort of, it's not okay.
Yeah, for me, like especially with my management and my agent, like if I don't want to do something, I will, because it doesn't feel right for me, I will go to them and be like, I'm happy to do this show if you guys really feel it will benefit me in the long run. If we're trying to get a greater thing out of this gig.
Yeah, yeah. If not,
then yeah, we can fucking do
it. Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
And then I think then also you go and do that gig that you've said, I don't really want to do this, but we're going to do it for the greater good. And I then evaluate after that show was it for the greater good or was it not? It's only happened a few times for me, but I've hands down said to my team, I'm not ever going to play for a certain promoter again. Purely because like, I just don't get a good vibe and it doesn't make me happy. And then I have friends in the same city that has a club. Yeah, it's smaller. I earn less money, but I have so much more fun.
Yeah.
And that's being able to have that is super important.
Yes.
Super important.
Yes. I completely agree.
One thing I want to talk to you about is,
yes,
because I've never been in the situation where you have in your past, having a record hit in the level where your big record did. How was that? Oh, lost you. All good?
Hey, yes, sorry for that.
You don't need to go. Like, no one's trying to get hold of you. No,
cool. No, don't worry.
Let's go back to that.
Forgive me.
No worries at all. You've had an extremely big hit record. How was that?
So first of all, it's an ongoing process. Mm. It's not really, Needed Me, was definitely an immediate success.
Yeah.
So I remember I was with my first record came out with Get Physical.
Yeah.
And at the time we were sort of dealing with gigs with them, and there was not much, although we'd already done Brick House with the vinyl, and I went to Ibiza and was giving all the vinyls out, and I was really, the track was working really, really hard because I wouldn't release it and I was keeping it.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, you know, where does it come from and who's it from? And and that was a really great moment for us. It was a really great feeling because we did the record and it was ours, and we pressed the vinyl, and it was something, you know, organic, and we could, you know, we were handing it, we were doing the real thing.
And that was a
great moment. And I still remember that moment as one of the most pure sort of moments of the career, because it was real. Everything was really, really real. It was simple, and then you know how it is. You sort of get lost and then you refine yourself. Hopefully that's what happened to me now. But anyway, Needed Me, we went from being with this Berlin agency, not playing at all, to being invited from Defected to go to London. Mm. They got us on a plane. We went to London. We went for lunch with Simon. Mm. And it was like the month after we had 10 gigs.
Yeah.
And it was like that for a long time,
forever.
And the thing that eventually changed was that the agent that we were with since day one with Defected, she at a certain point went to work with Moby, and that sort of changed some things, and then we sort of, then Danny and I split up, and I wanted to do my own thing, and then, but Needed Me has always been promoted by them constantly through the years. I mean, till this day, every week there's a post on Needed Me. And although I don't work that much with them anymore, we're still in an excellent relationship, but I'm not making the music.
Yeah.
You know, I'm moving on, and we're doing, you know.
Love that.
But yes, it's ongoing. Mm. So the good thing is that obviously you get every weekend, you get the sentence from the promoter or the DJ or the friend, or, you know, oh, I got into house music because of that record. That's what I get every weekend.
That's
every
special. Weekend. That's a special feeling.
Yeah. And I should be more proud of that. I've been told by quite a couple of people. I was told, Michael, you know Michael Beebe?
Yeah.
He was one of the first promoters to book me in London as Flash Mob. It was me, Dusky, MK, at the Archers, were a beautiful club in London. And we met years later when he'd already started having success as a DJ.
Yeah.
And he said to me something, and we've known each other for a long, long time. I've played for them for so many times, even in Ibiza, Solid Grooves, and etc. But we don't know each other that well, but we've known each other for years. And he said something that has really stuck with me, because he's a very, very intelligent chap. And he said to me, "You should be more proud of yourself." Mm. And I've asked myself many times why, because he's not the only one that said this to me. Mm. And I'm somebody that's always very, very concentrated on the future, on what I'm becoming, on how I'm improving, on I hate anyone that is not, well, I don't hate, hate is a very strong word, but I dislike anyone that is, I mean, a black belt behaves like a white belt.
Yeah, 100%.
So for me, it's so, and that's another kind of balance that you have to find, both with the people that surround you, with fellow DJs, with managers, and with yourself at the end of the day. Mm. Okay, I'm a black belt. I need to behave as a white belt, but I still need to think as a black belt.
Yeah.
And what is perceived by people is that you're not really proud of what you've done, when I'm extremely proud, but simply I'm very concentrated on my next steps. Yeah. My mind is always going forward for the way I'm built, for the way I think. And never I'm sort of, oh, it's just not part of me to think, oh, you know, I wish I had it. I probably would be much happier with myself.
Yeah.
If I was the kind of guy that was like, oh, you know, I've played here and I've done this and I've done, but I'm simply not bothered with that. Mm. With I know what I've done, but I'm focused on what I want to do. I'm not. So what I've done is important. Yes. Deep inside it is. I'm stronger because of what I've done, but I'm the person I am because of the experiences I've had and because of the decisions I've made and the directions I've took. My whole story started when after law school, I went to Thailand when the big wave hit.
Yeah.
That's when I decided I was going to be a DJ. And before that, I dedicated 9 years of my life to law.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what kind of a life change experience this has been for me.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And you know, it's just, that's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice I would have never made if something like that hadn't happened.
Didn't happen, yeah.
And again, the choice of giving myself another 10 years for the happiness of doing it is another choice because of what's happened now. And, you know, the choices and Need of Me has given me the good thing of Need of Me is that it's always given me the opportunity to get lost and refine myself within the industry. The side effect.
Yeah.
Would be that obviously you're remembered for for that record, and even if you're playing a totally different set, they will ask you to play that record, even if it doesn't, you know, even if it doesn't, it's just, you know, it's like, but you know, I've done other important records as well, and you know, not like Need of Me, of course. I'm not sure if I will ever do another. Need of Me, the times were different and very different times. But I'm actually very proud of the record, but of the defected period of the news, the things that I've learnt, and
that was a special time for that record label.
It was a very
special time, and like
it was very real. Very, very, very real.
Yeah, and
not as much media. And
it's very authentic then. Very authentic. And
there were nice people within Defected at the time. I mean, nice artists as well. I remember Noir René.
So good.
He was
so good.
He was such a nice guy. And those are the kind of people that if I email him now, he'll reply to me within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
With him, with Sam Devine, there were a number of.
Sam's the best. Like I,
yeah.
Sam's from where I live back in the UK. So she used to work in a record shop, in Western Supermare, and she was the first person that I kind of bought records from.
We have a big we've done so many things over time, because you know how it is with Defected, you're always playing with the same people,
same shows,
more or less, and now it's become a this huge media sort of, you know, and we didn't have that kind of media exposure at the time. So I'm guessing that if you know, it's easier probably now to make a bigger record, but
there's no longevity.
You don't get those. You don't get the. You don't. You. They don't have the, that kind of realness, texture to it. That, you know. That's not anymore. So, again, I'm super lucky in a way.
Yeah.
Because it will keep me going forever.
Mm, totally. Lucky.
And the more it goes on,
yeah,
the more the new generation sort of see me in a different way, and you know how it is. So,
well, that's the special thing about technology nowadays. And I was talking to a mate of mine the other night in the car, and we were talking about records and how a record that came out, like, with the way streaming is and the internet is and social media, a record that came out 5 years ago that didn't do well can and does get picked up somewhere somehow and turns into a big record.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
you just need
it's just luck.
TikTok.
Exactly. Which back in the day before social media and before all of that, you didn't really have that. It was purely based on the record being a great record, and it was so good that everyone had to play it. Needing Me, yep, was a great record and everyone had to play it. It was a fact.
Thank you.
And yeah, when I asked you that question, I was like, damn, he seems pretty like, it didn't feel like you were into it, but your answer was,
I'm not.
Your answer was perfect.
Everyone's going to hate me now.
No, I respect that. I respect that honesty, because I've had a lot of people on this podcast that have had great, huge records. And most of their responses is very similar to yours, but yours just felt a lot more real.
It's thank you for that. But the reality of it was that the record was we came from Brick House. Brick House, yeah, was extremely underground.
Yeah,
it was very simple, 4-5 sounds. Yeah. In an MS 20 through a rain, saturated, done, recorded while we were playing it with the machine, and so it was. We didn't even have the remix parts,
yeah,
because we were recording it. We recorded it as we did it,
yeah.
And coming from there, we had a different name before. Making a different kind of music. So we were sort of, let's try and make the steps properly to build a musical discourse,
yeah,
properly this time. And we want to go in this direction. And Needed Me was already a variation, because obviously we understood that it had a more mainstream potential.
Yeah.
And so it was on my desktop for a while. And the only thing that I've ever done without asking my previous partner, without discussing it together, the only thing that I did in our business relationship through those years was to one morning to say, you know what, this is a really big record. I'm just going to send it to Defected, because they literally had just licensed Brick House,
yeah,
for a compilation, and I was talking to Andy Daniel,
yeah,
and he was like, you know, if you have a record, send it to me.
Mm.
And I said, okay. And I sent it to him. And like 2 days later, I was skiing. I was with my wife. We were talking about this last week, and because we were sitting in a very similar situation. And I said, wow, how much time has gone by, yeah, since. And yeah, and this email came through with was my first advance for a record. And the funny thing was that I replied saying that you might have made a mistake, Andy. I don't know if Andy remembers this. We've never actually spoken about this. But I replied saying you might have added a zero. because I was talking hundreds. I was thinking hundreds at, yeah, the time. And it wasn't that much. It wasn't a big advance, but it was money, and yeah, it was an advance. I couldn't imagine that they would give you, you know, a couple of thousand for a record. Yeah. It was just, and then just boom, 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 boom.
And here we are.
Mm. Yes.
Dude.
I have a copy of it there.
I've loved this conversation. It's been a really nice conversation, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Perfect time to wrap it. Before we go, how can people catch up with what you're doing and follow you and follow your label?
Well, I'm on Instagram, of course. I'm still sort of shaping it up with the new, well, I've started, it's already been a couple of months we've started with the new completely, and the label I've completely reset it a month ago. So I'm really liking what Flash Mob Records, I'm really liking what we're doing with that, the new sound and the new outcome of music. By the way, I need to send you some music.
Please do.
And
please do.
Yeah, anyway, a different conversation, but Flash Mob DJ, Flash Mob Records, and my new tool room is out in March, and I've signed a new one after that as well. And I hope this is not my last interview.
No, man, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I'd love to get you on again in the future. Like, if
for sure,
if you got any records coming out, want to promote them, just hit me up. Yeah. I will.
No, I was referring to the Ukraine situation.
Oh, right.
I hope that we just finish in style. Well, if you're one of my favorite artists, and I hope that we meet in person.
Dude, I'd love to, man. I'd love to. Like, it'd be great. I want to come and eat some Italian food. And
we'll do when you want.
I'd love to.
Really,
man.
Really, and my word counts.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you so much.
I have
keep
a
safe,
lot of
dude.
Respect for you. Thank you very much.
Big love, man. Keep safe. See you
we'll
soon.
We'll talk soon. Okay, soon. Ciao.
Bye, man.
Ciao,
thank
ciao,
you. Ciao. Thank you so much. That was amazing. I love that conversation a lot. Keep safe. Share it with your friends. Send it to everybody. Give us a review. Subscribe. Do all the good things. Thank you so much for coming on to Flash Mob. See you soon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. I'm here to tell you about Boll & Branch sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. They're made from the rarest organic cotton and designed to get even softer over time. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code RESTFUL15. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.